train up our children, be men that train up our children in the ways of the Lord. But as the Apostle Paul comes into young Timothy's life, he begins to travel with him on the missionary journeys. And Paul and Timothy have an incredible relationship, and it's shown to us even in the scripture this morning. I just want to read to you the first two verses of chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And I believe that there's enough in those two verses for us to look at this morning and for us to be able to deal with as men seeking after the Lord. And the first thing that we look at as we really grab a hold of this verse is that the Lord tells us to be strong. And what happens most time when you're talking to a group of men and you talk about being strong is the testosterone starts to just boil up and we think that it's all about us and who we can be and how we can be in the physical sense strong. But that's not at all what the Lord's talking about. It's not at all what Paul is saying to young Timothy. Remember as he writes to young Timothy that he would say in chapter 1 of Timothy, 2 Timothy, hey, I know who you are. Don't be fearful, Timothy. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, right? He's saying, Timothy, I know who you are. I've traveled with you. I know what your character is like, and I know that you get overwhelmed, and I know that you get fearful. And he says to him, don't be that, but be this. Be one that's strong in the ways of the Lord, or in the things that Jesus Christ has brought into your life. So as we go back through this, let's think about these verses and what Paul is trying to communicate to his young protege, to Timothy, the man that he would lead the pastor of the church. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is also in Christ Jesus. And so he begins with Timothy to be able to say, let's make sure that we understand the relationship. It's one of endearment, right? My son. So he's not just a student of Paul's, but Paul takes on Timothy as a son in the faith. Or, if you will, that Paul says, you're so important to me that you're my son in the faith. Or that I care so much about you, Timothy, that this is the kind of relationship that we've always had. And so I'm coming to you as a papa in the faith. Or a daddy in the faith. And what a great thing it is to be able to say to you today that's a very important aspect for all of us to have. Who's your papa in the faith? Who is it that you look to as your spiritual guidance and leader? Pastor Chuck has been for so many years, so many papas in his faith, but when Pastor Chuck speaks to me, it's like I'm sitting with my dad. It's because he has that much care and love and concern for all those that he's been able to mentor and to grow and to be able to see under his guidance and direction come to be men that are faithful and committed to God and to his word. And I'm telling you that it's important for you to have one of those type of people. Because Pastor Chuck is not only a papa in the faith that shares wisdom with me and gives counsel to me, but he is also the one that I'm accountable to. He's also the one that I want to make sure that when I'm doing this teaching, when I'm doing ministry, that I'm looking and saying, God, this is all for your glory, but I sure want to make Papa Chuck smile when he looks back on the ministry that we're about. I want him to be proud. I want him to be a proud papa. When I was a young man, I grew up in a family of 15 children, 11 boys. We were playing sports all from the very moment that we were, able to get on our knees and crawl. We were wrestling, and from that point on, we were always in that sports activities. And one of the things that was most meaningful to me was my dad was always at my sporting events. And I didn't care what anybody else thought about the way I played, but I wanted to go home and hear what Dad thought. When I was in high school, everybody else get out of the locker room. They go out to their girlfriends and they go out to get a bite to eat or something. I went straight home. I wanted to hear what my dad thought about the way I played. important to have a papa
that you're accountable to, that you look up to, that you want to get counsel from. It's important to put yourself in that position where you are an accountable man.
People say to me all the time, I'm accountable to God.
That's great.
Be accountable to God, but be accountable to one in authority over you as well.
So that you have that man that can pour into your life and that can also hold you accountable to the things of the Lord. And certainly we have that here as we look at this letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Remember that Timothy was shy and discouraged and fearful as Paul wrote that message to him, that God didn't give him a spirit of fear. But what did he say? But of love and power and a sound mind.
What an incredible message that Paul leaves to Timothy. He says, well, Timothy, let's put off the old fearful way and let's remember that God's given you this. He's given you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, which would allow for Timothy to be encouraged to continue on even in those difficult times. And there are many of you here this morning that are going through difficult times. And the Lord says to you, man, don't be fearful. I'm praying with a couple brothers this morning. All of us are praying with different people. A couple brothers are praying, and you know what? There's an area, isn't there, of fear. Man, can God put my marriage back together after the disastrous way that I've been living? Can God allow for my wife to really come back to loving me and respecting me after the things that I've done to her that are ungodly? Listen, God says, don't have a spirit of fear, but of power. What power? The power of Almighty God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the grave is the same power that God gives to you and I today. The power to be able to overcome those temptations and to be victorious. That's what that whole resurrection was about. Was the Lord showing us that death could not hold him, that sin could not hold him, but that he had the power to be victorious over sin and death. And so that power is within you. And the power now is to be able to say, and I said this to the guys, the power to be able to allow for the love of the Lord, the character of the Lord, that if you will, feeling of the Lord, to be able to take us through those times even of fear that we have. And then he says of love, the love of God Almighty, for God so loved you. Put your name in there. Not the world. You put your name in there. Your name that he sent his only begotten son. For God so loved Jerry Brown that he sent his only begotten son. That if Jerry Brown would believe in him, did not perish but have everlasting life. That love allows for you to be able to take on any kind of temptation and to be victorious in it. Because when I come to a place that I really recognize the love of God, it only requires one thing, and that is that I love him back. And that my love for him is enough that it says, you know what? This sweet fellowship with the Creator of the universe that I have, this sweet fellowship, it blurs out any kind of temptation that would take me away from it. Nothing in the world can compare. And so the Lord says, then a sound mind. Or one that's focused on the things of the Lord. One that's not given to the things of the world anymore, but one that's focused soundly on the things of the Lord. And we find those things here in the Scripture. And so the Apostle Paul says to young Timothy, you be strong, not in your own strength, Timothy. You be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. The grace that is in Jesus Christ. The grace that allows for salvation to be had. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians for a minute in chapter 2. And let's just take a look at this for a moment. Paul's calling Timothy to be strong, not in his own strength, but in the strength that we have in God's grace. And there's no greater strength in all the world than the strength of salvation that has come to man through the grace of Almighty God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's only by grace that you and I are saved. But I want to make sure that we recognize this. That His grace doesn't stop in salvation. His grace
allows us to be sanctified. It's His grace that takes us from glory to glory. It's His grace that allows for us to be able to mature, making good choice after good choice after good choice. It's all about His grace. And so what Paul is saying to young Timothy is, Timothy, man, don't be strong in who you are, because you're going to fail. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the word in the original language is in the passive tense, which means that Paul is saying, Timothy, continue to allow the grace to be the strength that you have, that takes you from one episode to another in your life and being victorious for the Lord. Continue to allow the grace to be the focus that you have, that allows for you to be able to say, God, you are so good to me. Even as Joseph did when the temptation came to him, that he would say, God, you are so good to me. How could I sin against my God? I understand the grace that God has reached down from heaven with to pull me out of the pit that Dan was talking about in my life, to be able to place me in this position that He's given me today. And there's absolutely nothing, nothing that can take me away from that grace. There's nothing that can take you away from that grace. God's grace is poured out upon you, and the only question is, will you and I focus on it? Will you and I focus on the grace so that He can allow for us to be strengthened? What a blessing it is. 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says this. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In chapter 12 and verse 9. And so again, you and I are called to be strong, not in our own strength. You and I are called to be strong, not in our own, if you will, holy or pure thoughts, because they'll fail us, won't they? Not in our own strength. He says, you be strong in the grace of my God. Don't be strong in your works. Because today you might be doing a good work for the Lord, and then tomorrow you'll fail Him. Because He tells us, doesn't He, that our good works are into filthy rags. It is only that we are strong in His grace. And that's all Paul tells Timothy. He says, Timothy, here's where you're going to have victory. When you keep your focus on the grace, the goodness of Almighty God. Then look what he says. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Guys, I can't emphasize enough the importance of this part of the passage. And that is this, that before you can become a teacher, you've got to first be a student. You've got to first be a student. So many people come to the faith and all of a sudden they go, wow, man, God saved me and here I am. Man, I'm ready to go. Now, I was just talking to a couple of guys, right? And they told me, man, here's the roller coaster ride of my life. You know, I think I've got it together, and then I think I've got it together. Tells you I'm on the way down, right? Because pride comes before. Yeah. And so the Lord says to us, listen, here's what I want you to focus on now, is I want you to focus on being a student. He says, look again, he says to young Timothy, Timothy, here's what I want you to remember. These things that you have heard from me amongst many witnesses. The Apostle Paul had a great student in young Timothy, and that's how the Apostle Paul knew that then Timothy was going to be ready for the call that God had on his life, and that was to be a minister of His Word. Be a student. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a worker who might not be ashamed. What? Rightly dividing the Word of truth. Or being such a student, that word means to be a specialist. It comes from, if you will, a woodworking language that calls us to cut a straight line. To be able to do things in a manner that would be, look at the Word, understand the Word, and be able to speak out the Word in its original meaning. How many times have you seen people come up, pastors that teach, and they take words out of context, and they allow for words to just you know, to have some premise that they want to promote and try and find a piece of scripture to be able to promote it instead of giving the whole scripture in the context of the scripture. Well, Paul says, Timothy, here's what you've got to remember, man. Your calling demands that you remember what you've learned. It demands that you were a good student, and that in being that good student, that you were one that studied in such a way that now you're ready to be able to deliver it to others. Why don't you turn to Psalms for a moment, into chapter 1. Because I think it's real important that we recognize the only way that you can become a good student is to buckle yourself in the seat and sit with your Bible until you understand what you've read. So many people come to me and they'll say, Pastor Jared, I'm reading but I just don't understand. Then get yourself some help books. Get on the phone and make a call. Today on the way down there, Kurt's been my best friend since we were 8 years old. And I tried to pass that off as being 40 years, but it's been a little longer than that earlier. But Kurt's been my best friend since we were 8 years old. Kurt and I, all the way down here, were having conversations about the Scripture and about questions that he had about different parts of the Scripture. Find somebody that you know can give you the answer. And find the answer before you leave that text. Don't allow for yourself to walk away from the Scripture going, man, I read it, but I don't understand it. No. Find out what the text means so it can be cemented in your heart and it can bring change to your life, because that's why God gave it to us. He didn't give it to us so that we could just read through it and go, yeah, I read this morning, or that we could dutifully read through it. We do Proverbs every morning, right, guys? At the ranch. I've been doing Proverbs every morning since the day that I was born again. All right? And people ask me all the time, they go, well, man, don't you ever get tired of doing Proverbs? Are you kidding me? The Word is so deep that you can never get to the fullness of its understanding. There's always something new that God wants to reveal to you in His Word. Are you kidding me? But you've got to strap yourself in and be ready for being diligent, the Word says, to show yourself approved unto God. Be diligent about being a student. Look at Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Here's the question, guys. Are you one that meditates day and night on His Word? Are you one that delights? You know, when I think about delighting, man, you can see I like to eat, right? You know, I delight in coming to a restaurant like this and being able to have that sourdough bread. My buddy Kurt back there says, man, that's the devil. He says, man, that's the devil, buddy. Never mind, because he knows I delight in taking that toast that was given to me, man, spreading some butter on it and tasting that sourdough. I delighted in eating that sourdough. Well, do you delight like that in the Word of God? I mean, is it something that as soon as, you know, I was told that I could have it, that all of a sudden you start thinking about it, then your senses start, you know, smelling it, and then you're ready to dive into it, and you have expectations for what it's going to taste like and how good it is. And then, is that how you really have a sense of diving into God's Word? Delighting in the law of the Lord. Because that's how you become a student. You don't become a student by being dutiful about reading the Bible. Oh, you know, I got a one-year Bible, and I want to read the whole Bible in 1 year. So, you know, this one-year Bible says that I have to read, you know, 2 chapters of the Old Testament, and a chapter of Psalms, and 2 chapters of the New Testament. So every day, I read those pages. I just go through those pages. I had my son tell me the other day, he goes, Dad, I threw away the one-year Bible. I go, good. He goes, it just became burdensome to me. He goes, all I was doing was turning pages and trying to get through it and thinking about, man, I don't have, you know, an hour and a half to spend in this right now. I've got all of the things to do. God never wanted it to be like that. He wanted for you and I to delight in it. So if you read three verses, if you read one word, and it becomes you, it becomes a part of you, and you take it in to be able to apply it into your life, then God's much more happy than if you just read through 15 chapters of the Bible. Be one that delights in the law of the Lord. Way too often we think that after we've been sitting a few weeks or a few months, that we now should have a platform to be able to stand on. I just want to remind you of James chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. Make sure that you're prepared. My buddy Kirk, he challenged a couple of the pastors at U-Turn for Christ with a question. And the pastors were all over him. They were giving him a hard time about his thoughts and the way that he had heard it taught before by me, and they hadn't heard it. And he was listening and he's thinking and he's going, you know what, guys? I think there's a problem here. I don't think you've been a student. I think that you need to be careful. Because Pastor Mario came into the conversation. Pastor Mario said, Kurt, you're absolutely right. You guys are wrong. And the other pastors went, huh? And Kurt said, you know what? All I want to do this for is I want to show you that you better be serious at being a student before you get up to deliver a word. And guys, that's what Paul's saying. Timothy, man, you remember. Just go back to and go back to and go back to the things that you have been taught and the things that you have learned. And then, the apostle says, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Commit them to faithful men. Let me be clear on this because I think it's real important. If you've been called to teach, then get busy. It's really important. It's really important. People say to me all the time, you know, Pastor Jerry, I've been called to teach. I say, great. Then I got a Sunday school class. I'd like to sit in it with you and listen to you teach the third graders. Oh no, Pastor Jerry, I meant I want to teach on the platform. I want to teach, you know, at your pulpit. No, wait a minute. Have you been given the gift of teaching? If you've got the call to teach on your life, then you teach everywhere you go. You teach every person that you come in contact with. You share God's Word and passionately share God's Word with every opportunity that you get. Doesn't mean if there's one person or 10,000 people. You share passionately the Word of God. And that's what the Apostle is telling Timothy. He said, Timothy, you look around. Young Timothy, look for faithful men. But for guys that have been faithful in the little things, guys that you have been watching, Timothy, and then you be that one that inserts into their life and give them the opportunity. And I think this is critical. Give them the opportunity to be able to use that gift and that calling. Be able to use the things that you've taught them to be able to share with others so that you can help them grow and mature in the calling that God has on their lives. So important for us to be able to look at. The apostle tells us that we're to go and to be those that are committed to teaching Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, he says, as you therefore, turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Because I think it's important for us to know that to be a mentor that's always looking for those that are serious students and in the circumference, if you will, of influence that you have to pour your life into them. And that's what Paul did. He saw these people that were around him. Young Timothy was asking questions. He was serious. He was concerned. He wanted to know. He was called and he knew it, but he was trying to figure out how in the world does this all work together. And he learned from the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was serious about teaching him. He says in chapter 2 and verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, and according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Paul says, listen, Timothy, the things that you've heard, the things that I've taught you, they're not the philosophies of men. They're not the cutting craftiness of those that are trying to make a name for themselves before the glory of the Lord. You be committed to those men. Then he says this, and I think it's real important that we get it. The last part of that verse, he says, who will be able to teach others also. Who will be able to teach others also. And I think it's so important that you and I recognize that God has called us to be mentors. He's called us to be mentors. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We need to constantly be looking around and looking for those that are showing a serious faithfulness to the Word of God and pour our lives into it. Pour our lives into it. Mentor them. Listen, I love this. Pastor Chuck has said this for years. We're one generation away from the gospel being extinct. If we don't pass from generation to generation the things that we have learned, the things that God has taught us, then we're one generation away from the gospel being extinct. We have to commit these things to those that are faithful. We have to look for young men that are able to teach others. We have to look for those that are serious about wanting to learn and then pour into the life. The ones that are questioning us. I'm telling you this, dads. I'm telling you this because I have sons now that are older and that are walking and serving the Lord. That I found out that I have two sons that were interested in being serious students of the Bible. And I had to pour my life in. And sometimes it was very inconvenient. Because sometimes there were questions at times when I really didn't have a lot of time to explain to them and sit down with them and go. And I had to make myself sit down. This is the most important thing right now in your life. To commit to your son who's interested, who's asking questions, who's serious about being a student of the Lord, sit down with them and help them to gain as much understanding as you possibly can. Because they might just be the next pastor. They might just be the next evangelist. They might just be, as in my case, the next worship leader that the church is going to have. God's called us to be those that faithfully commit the things that we've learned to young men that they might be able to teach others also. We need to be good mentors, which means that we need to make sure that we're giving opportunity for those guys to be able to stand up and use the gift and the calling that God has given them and help them to mature in it. Guys, we have to first be a student. God's called you to teach, then get busy at teaching. Get busy at having those conversations that help you to grow. Those conversations that are the difficult questions that are in the Scriptures that make you study deeper and that make you sure of what you believe. Here's one of the things I think that bothers me more than anything right now in the movement that we belong to. There's people saying, Pastor Chuck says, no, wait a minute. Pastor Chuck wants you to say, God says. That's why I believe. Full of Chuck is Chuck full of the Lord. But I don't say, I believe because Chuck says. I believe because God says. And I'm absolutely convinced that God has taken me in this direction. Father, we come before you and thank you that your word, God, your word is where you reveal yourself to us. God, I just love that. I love the fact that you didn't have to reveal yourself, but you chose to reveal yourself because you love us so much. And Lord, in revealing yourself to us, that you've called us to be those that commit these faithful saints to younger, to others, the faithful men that continue to carry out this call that you have given us. Lord, you said, go and make disciples. God, you can't make disciples if you're not taking them into the Scriptures. Lord, go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lord, the things that you have commanded, those things that you have taught to us, they're found in your Holy Bible. God, help us to be men of the Word. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Guys, when Fernando was up here, he said, you know, I'm dealing with diabetes, you can pray for me. And I don't like to ever leave saying, okay, I'll pray for you. Because I'm a forgetful guy. When somebody asks me to pray for them, I want to pray for them right then. I want to pray for them right then. I want to ask God to help bring them back to my memory so that I'll pray for them often. So I just think we all need to just pray for Fernando right now. That diabetes, and that the Lord would just bless him and even bring a miracle healing. Our God's in the miracle business. And that we just pray over him. So would you just bow your heads with me again and let's just pray for him now. Father, we come before you and thank you. Thank you for the gift, Lord, of Fernando. And the gift that he brings of being singing praises to you. Lord, I love again your word that just calls for us to praise you, Lord, and for us to, God, have a heart that wants to just resonate with the voice that you've given us to be able to sing out praises to you. Lord, I thank you for this man, and I ask that you would just touch his body. Lord, so it's been 20 years. 20 years is nothing to you, God. Lord, it's nothing to you. You brought healing, Lord, all through the Scriptures. And God, there were many that were sick from the time of birth that you touched and that you healed. And Lord, we ask for a miracle touch on your brother, on your son, Lord, on our brother. And we ask, God, that if it's your will, Lord, that you would touch him and heal him. God, of course, we pray your will, but you know ours, Lord. Our will is that you'd reach down and touch him, Lord. And that you'd just heal him, Lord. And that you'd allow for him to be able to use those stringed instruments once again to praise you as well, Lord. And to be able to, God, just use them in a way that even never before he's been able to because of your gifting and your grace. God, in your grace, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey guys, just want to, if you haven't filled out your prayer request, hey, fill them out and give them to Rebecca on your way out. Just want to ask if all you guys would stand up. Fernando's going to close us in one last worship song. Thank you guys for coming, man. That was a blessing this morning, fellowshipping and breaking bread together. And praise the Lord. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for prayer. Let's sing.
Every move I'm making you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take in you.
Let's sing it out together.
Every breath I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take in you.
We go waves of mercy.
Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your love has conquered me. Oh my God, this love, how can it be?
Very good, every move. Here we go.
Every move I make, I'm making you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take in you.
Every step.
Every step I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take in you.
Waves of mercy.
Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your love has captured me. Oh my God, this love, how can it be?
Everybody sing with me, na na.
Na 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 na
Amen. Amen. Amen.